Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have the privilege to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we'd ever deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us in every way, that you would direct our path as we'd read from your word, that your words could touch the hearts of those that are listening, that we that are saved could be revived, strengthened, and encouraged, and those that are lost could see their need to turn and trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. Father, above all things, we pray that your will would be accomplished. We know also that there's many sick and there's many suffering. There's many with broken hearts. We just pray that you look down in mercy as only you can. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us again step aside and give you the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to turn and look in the book of John, John chapter 15. I know this would be some familiar reading to those of you who know your Bibles, and yet there's some things within this chapter that I think gets used out of context sometimes and gets used for people's own purpose or our own desire, and that's done with a lot of the scripture in our day and time. That's why you often hear me, we got to put things into context. Now, for those of you who know your Bible, you know that this is a time that Jesus is about to face the cross. And realistically, you go back to chapter 13 and a whole lot of the writing begins to turn red. In chapter 14, here in chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, it's red for the most part. And what it is Jesus trying to comfort his people and prepare them for what they are about to face. And that's important to understand the context of what we're reading. He's preparing them for some things. He's preparing them for the future work they've got to do. He's preparing them for what he has to face on the cross. He's preparing them for even things in eternity. And he's preparing them for suffering, for persecution. He's preparing them to be able to stand against the temptations and the things that they're about to have to face. And we pick up in verse 1 of John chapter 15. And he says here, I am the true vine. Now that's important. That's important. He says, I'm the true vine. There's a whole lot of people trying to create false vines out there. But Jesus says, I'm the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. In other words, he's the caretaker of it. He watches over it. He makes sure it's being treated right and it's prepared right and everything's done. And some people think, well, God's the husbandman, everything will turn out great. If you'll go back and read in the Old Testament, you'll find that God talks about how he's done everything to his vineyard that possibly could be done, and yet it still didn't bear fruit. You can do everything right in the world and still not get the results that you want. And a lot of that depends upon us as what we want to produce. But we'll get into that a little bit later. But here in verse 2 he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, there's a lot of people that start with this fruit business and say that means lost souls. That is not what he's talking about. Now, lost souls should be a product of this. But it's not the fruit. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is putting off of ourselves and putting on of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fruit. The fruit of who we are is by living the Word of God within our lives. That's the fruit. Putting on the things of Christ. And not one thing of Christ that we like. Because I've met a lot of different Christians that like to pick and choose what parts of Christ they like. Some like the hard parts. We're just going to be staunch and we're going to be over here and we're going to be all about truth and we're going to be all about righteousness and those things are good in its place. And you got some people on the other side And they're like, well, I like the compassion of Christ. I like the forgiveness of Christ. But they don't want to put on the righteousness of Christ. And he didn't say, you pick and choose. He said, you got to have it all. He said, I want all your heart, all your soul, all your might. But a lot of people try to treat Christ like a buffet. And I'm going to pick and choose what I want. But this is a whole package deal. If you're a part of the vine, you're going to bear His fruit. He says, if you don't bear fruit, that being the fruit of Christ, He taketh away. Now, some people say, well, He's going to take away your salvation. That is not what He's saying. There's plenty of scripture to prove He's not talking about taking away salvation. But there's plenty of scripture, even what we read back doing our study back in 2 Timothy, that proves if you don't purge yourself from sin, if you don't prepare yourself and get rid of those youthful lusts and those other things, that you won't be able to be used of God. That you won't be ready unto every good work. Man that will purge himself from these things can be what? A vessel of honor. Meat for the master's use. What if we don't purge ourselves from sin? And the Bible is very clear that if you're one of God's, what's one of your jobs? Purge yourself from sin. And not just the sins that you pick and choose. But as we go through the Bible and as we go through life, every sin that God shows to us, we want to get rid of it. There is no such thing as a perfect Christian. But every single Christian is supposed to be aiming towards perfection in Christ. Going on unto perfection. We know we won't do that, be totally perfect, until we get our new glorified bodies. But our goal is to aim towards perfection, which is Christ. And to put off sin. And how do we know sin? God declares it in His Word. A lot of people trying to say, well, this isn't sin and that isn't sin, and trying to make excuses for everything in the world. And that makes you at enmity with God. And that has you calling God a liar. And you're not abiding in the vine when you're rebelling against the vine. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So what's God going to do to us when we start just a little bit after salvation and we start taking off a little sin and we start putting it away and we start putting on a little bit of that fruit of the Spirit? God's going to come in and say, hey, I need to work with that. Because I don't know about you, but when you start seeing fruit, you want to help it to be more fruitful. Now, I come from both sides of my grandparents loved to plant gardens. On both sides of my family. They loved to watch things grow. But I guarantee you, they found a piece of land on their property that wouldn't produce the fruit. Or they found a crop that they bought that didn't produce like it was supposed to. They're not buying that anymore. Also, they were good about scuppidines and muscadines over the years. Now, I've come across several people with that. You know what you do with those things? Man, you take care of them. You take care of that ground around it. You don't let vines grow up and take it over. You don't take care of it. But if it's not producing, what you going to do? You don't cut it down. And if you got vines over here, and I'm one that I get ready for blueberry season. I love blueberries. You know what? You ever gone out there and seen that you got a whole branch on your blueberry bush and it's not producing anything? You know what you do? You take those pruners to it. Usually about the winter time is when you go back to it. Sometimes I've known people to do it even while season's going on. If it's not producing, they just take the pruners and go, bleep, cut that thing off. It's not doing anything. If you really know what you're doing, you can make a small bush start to produce more and more. Because God wants His to bear more fruit. And that fruit is what? The fruit of Christ within their life. The fruit of His work. The fruit of His Word. Jesus is the Word. And He's telling us, listen, if you start to produce fruit, God's going to come in. He's going to prune you. He's going to work with you. Help you produce more. Help you to be more fruitful, more godly, more Christ-like. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We still got that word today, don't we? Not just in the four Gospels, but from Genesis to Revelation. That's the Word of God. The true author being God Himself. And that's how we're still clean today. By seeing what God stands for, what God stands against, what God calls righteous, what God calls unrighteous, what He says shows forth His fruit. To give you an example of this, if you know my family background, and you come and see me and get to see my face, there's people that know me that'll say, well, you look like so-and-so out of your family. Sometimes I get told I look like my father. I can remember years ago I had people tell me I look like my mama. And even with my children, when my son was born, and it wasn't too long after he was born, I started carrying him places, of course, and my wife and children go with me, and same way with my daughter. In fact, I just shared a picture with some people not too long ago of me and my daughter on a trip that we went on, and she's just 3 years old, but we had a picture taken together, and they said, man, you can't deny your kids. I've been told I marked them. Let me ask you this, if we're truly the children of God, shouldn't there be some marks on us? You know, Jesus was one time asked by His disciples, they said, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. He's saying, because I teach the things that He has taught me. I show you the things that He has showed me. Well, if we're the children of God, if we believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and have been adopted into the family of God, and God the Father is our Heavenly Father, shouldn't we be bearing that? Shouldn't His fruit, His teachings, His ways be seen in our lives? Said, you're clean through what? The word which I have spoken unto you. And that word gives only one way of salvation. And that's not of works, but it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here He's telling the people that have believed upon Him, He says, abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. He said, listen, you're not going to produce fruit. Now, can I produce numbers? Can I produce money? Can I produce all kinds of things in this world by being away from Christ and not putting on the things of Christ, or picking and choosing the things of Christ I want to follow? I can produce things in this world, but I can't produce heavenly things. I can't produce eternal things if I get away from Christ. If I preach another salvation that Christ has not preached. If I start preaching works has part to do with salvation. Baptism has part to do with soul salvation. Church membership, spiritual gifts, or any other thing, except it be alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If I preach another salvation other than what's been taught in the Scripture, I'm not abiding in Christ, am I? If I don't teach His doctrines, I'm not abiding in Christ. If I don't call what Jesus called sin, sin, I'm not abiding in Christ. If I don't call what Christ called righteousness, righteousness, I'm not abiding in Christ. The only way for me to bear fruit, true eternal fruit that's going to be there for eternity, the only way my works are going to abide is if they are in Christ. If they're not, they'll burn up. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and study on that subject. You can't get outside of Christ and have God bless you. There's a lot of people who say, I think, I feel, I believe. If it's not what thus saith the word of God, it's not abiding in Christ. There's a lot of people who will misuse a whole lot of Scripture to try to justify their sins and their ways. And a whole lot of churches trying to justify what they're doing in the world that doesn't fit Scripture. Let me tell you, it will not abide. It might be blessed by this world. It might be received by this world. It might pack church buildings. But God said, those who preach that gain in this world is godliness, He said, from such turn away from. I'll never forget years ago, I had a man try to tell me how he knew God was with the church that he was at. He said, you can tell it by the numbers we have. And I said, don't you know that goes against Scripture? We don't judge our righteousness by numbers. If so, Noah must have been the most unrighteous man there ever was. He preached for 100 years, and including himself, there were 8 souls on that ark. That sounds like a huge failure, doesn't it? Anybody want to tell me that Noah was a failure? You want to tell me that Jeremiah was a failure? That Isaiah was a failure? Anybody remember when Jesus preached and multitudes of people left? And he even turned to the 12 and said, will ye go also? Jesus must have been a failure because he preached a message and people left. Anybody want to call Jesus a failure? The outside appearance isn't near as important as what's truly going on. Now, a lot of people misuse that and say, that's right, preacher, the outside appearance don't matter. Listen, modesty's taught in the Scripture. And if you're not modest in your life, and I can tell you from a lot of things I've seen, there's a whole lot of people that don't like modesty. Trust me, I've sat in church buildings before when I've picked a spot on the wall to preach because of some of the immodesty coming into a church house. That's not bearing fruit. Modesty is clearly taught in the Scripture. It's evidently taught. It's evidently taught that God likes the difference between the way men and women dress. Clearly taught in the Scripture. He likes them to look different. There's even a Scripture that talks about because of the angels, He likes the difference between men and women. And to say I fully understand that Scripture, I don't. But I do understand that God's teaching there needs to be a difference. But modesty's clearly taught. And for nearly 1900 years of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, at least for 1800 years of it, that wasn't really a big issue. But sadly, there's a whole lot of Christians that have bought into the progressive movement over the Bible. And they want people to see them instead of seeing Christ in them. But if we want the blessings of God in our lives and we want to truly be used by God, you must abide in Him and He in you. Because He said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." He said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." What does that mean? Bringeth forth much fruit. It means you're going to be showing off a whole lot of Christ and how you love your neighbor and how you forgive and how you stand up for what's right and how you stand against what's wrong and how you eschew evil in your life. What you let in, what you let out. Your conversation, your attitude, your meekness, your long-suffering, and everything about you, it'll shine. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. I tell you what, a Christian that's living according to the Word of God cannot be hid. And we need to remember, for without me ye can do nothing. Oh, we might can do a lot of things in this world. But having the blessings of God, having the Holy Spirit abounding in our life, that's not talking about waving our hands and shaking around and all kinds of these spiritual gifts that people talk about. Listen, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're doing the works of God in your life. You have a burden for lost souls. You have a burden for the Word of God. You have a desire to have a relationship with God. You have a desire to be an encouragement and a blessing, provoking your brothers and sisters in Christ unto love and good works according to the Word of God. He also said here, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." There's some people like to say, "Yep, they're cast out of the church and they go to hell." That's not what he's saying here. Again, you need to compare Scripture to Scripture. The Bible does not teach us losing our salvation, but it does tell us that we can throw away our lives worse. Again, I'll refer you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says a man can be saved, yet so as by fire, but his works be burned up. He has no reward. The foundation is sure and is unchangeable, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That's the foundation. But now after salvation, we can build upon that foundation of Jesus Christ, wood, hay, and stubble, are precious stones that are mentioned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what happens if we're building upon our life things that are not godly? If we live after the ways of the world, well, we're unprofitable servants, aren't we? And what God is saying is, I can't use you in that condition. You're basically taking the light of Christ in your life and you're covering it up with a bushel. You're hiding it by sin. By not putting off of the flesh and putting on of the Spirit. When God desires His people to shine as lights in this world, revealing the light of Christ in their life. That's what He's talking about here in verse 6. If you're not abiding in Christ, you can't be used of God. You limit your use of how you can be used of God. But the more that we put on Christ, and the more that we put off of our flesh, the more God says, I can use you. Because you're preparing yourself to be used. You're making yourself ready to be used. And we stop abiding in ourselves and start abiding in Christ, we're preparing ourselves to be used in the work of God. But if we're abiding in our flesh and we're living like the world instead of like how God wants us to live, your friend, God can't use us when we're acting like the world. Because our words carry no weight. If we're not practicing what we preach, if we're not standing upon the truth and the power of the Word of God, not much there benefit, is there? Because if people can't see Christ within us, then our words become hypocrisy and vanity. He said in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this is very important. Some people say, well, you can pray for a car, you can pray for this job. That's not what he's talking about. If you're really abiding in Christ, you're not focused on yourself, you're focused on the things of God. So what kind of things will you be asking God if you're really focused on Him? You're going to be focused on God. How can I be a blessing to my coworker? How can I be a blessing to my family member? How can I help out my community that your light can shine through me? How can I do for you in the church? How can I be a blessing to my brother and sister in Christ to encourage them to live more for the Lord? The things that you're asking God when you're abiding in Him is godly things, not selfish things. And when you're asking the things of God, God's ready to answer and take care of those requests, isn't He? And that's what he's talking about here in verse 7. Listen, we're just scratching the surface. And I want to put everything in context. And Lord willing, we're going to pick back up here with verse 8 next week. And I pray that you see the context of what Christ is teaching His disciples, also in context with other words that we have from the Word of God that fit these Scriptures, that show us the fullness of these Scriptures so we're not misusing them to say what we want it to say, but yet we're listening to it for what Christ was actually trying to tell us according to His Word. That's where the blessings are anyway, isn't it? Dear friend, I pray this could be a blessing. If you would have any question, any comment, any way that we could be used to God to be a help, we always want you to feel free. Our phone number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. And we just pray that this could be a blessing according to God's will. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.